It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of John, we're in chapter 9. Last time we read of Jesus, how that he found a man who was blind from birth. And the disciples wanted to know who had sinned, whether it had been him or his parents, which ones had done the things that brought this sickness or this blindness upon this man. And Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me." Once again, we back up to verse 3, and it says, "Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Many times in our lives, we have things come into our lives that we simply do not understand. There may be some bad things that happen to us. When I say bad things, I'm talking about maybe sickness comes upon us, or maybe we suffer a loss of a job or something like that. What we need to do is save people. We really need to proclaim that Jesus Christ is going to take care of us. And then when things take and fall into shape, when it all comes together and we see that God has taken care of us by faith, we've trusted him, then we need to share that with the people around us. Just as Jesus said here, he answered that neither this man or his parents had sinned, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. When something comes into our lives that we can't explain, that it's something bad in our lives, we need to let people know when prayers are answered that God has come through, that he is our God and we're serving the true God, the only God, the creator of all things. We're serving him, the savior of mankind. And on the other hand, maybe something very good comes into your life. Do you thank God for that? Do you let people know that God has done something miraculous in your life when it happens? Well, you need to be doing that as a child of God. Let people know so that God could be glorified. Verse 4 of that chapter, chapter 9, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world," Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Well, we can look at many things here, and many preachers, and I'm one of those preachers who I can see many avenues here within even that last verse that I read there. How many scriptures, how many sermons can come out of that scripture? But I see here that Jesus told this man, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." You see, you and I, as saved people, when we got saved, we were washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were dipped in the blood. Not only did that blood cover the sin, but that blood took away the sin. There is no more sin. God cleansed us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the washing of water by the Word. We are made clean through Jesus Christ's blood. No more sin. And just as this man went to wash in the pool of Siloam, people today need to go wash in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to trust him in order to go to heaven. Well, we keep reading here in verse 8. It says, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, now this is the man that had been blind, those which had seen him before, of course, that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Here this man is now. He had been healed. He had received his sight. And what was he doing? He was bringing honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the one. I am the one that was healed." Verse 10, "Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash." And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. Well, this man had been healed by a person that he did not even know. And Jesus is one who goes about seeking to save those who are lost. And those people in this world who are not saved, they do not know Jesus. This man was healed, but he didn't know who it was who healed him. It was Jesus. Now we keep reading here in verse 13, and they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Now here's the man that Jesus had healed, and now they bring this man to the Pharisees. Verse 14, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Now, this reminds me of what we've already read in the book of John, how that a man was infirmed, and Jesus healed the man. Now, the man could not get in the pool. You remember the account, how he was trying to get in the pool as a so-called angel would come down and trouble the waters, and whoever got in the pool first would be healed. Well, this man couldn't get in the pool because there was no one there to help him. But we read how that Jesus helped him. He cured him. He healed him. And this is somewhat of the same thing here. It's not the same account. This is a different person that we're reading about here. Now, he didn't know who had healed him, who had given him his sight. And the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight, and he said unto them, He put clay. How did he get healed? He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Well, they said, and these Pharisees were trying to discredit Jesus, the one who had healed this man, and said that Jesus was not of God. He didn't do this by God's miracles. He was not a man of God. But others said, How can a man that is a sinner? They said Jesus was a sinner. And they said, these other people said, Well, if he's a sinner, how can he do such miracles? And there was a division among them. See, today there will be people who believe in Jesus and people who do not believe in Jesus. And you know that. There's a division. And the Bible tells me that those who believe on Jesus Christ, they've trusted him as Savior, they're on their way to heaven. But those who do not know Jesus as Savior, sad, they're on their way to hell. But one of these days there's going to be a great division. When a person who is unsaved dies, they go immediately into hell. There is a great division. There's something that takes place there. And we read in Luke chapter 16 how the rich man lift up his eyes being in hell, being in torment. Well, there was a division at that time. He looked across a great divide, and he saw Lazarus, who was being comforted in the bosom of Abraham, and there was a great division there. Well, we know that when Jesus, I believe, when he rose from the grave, he took those people who were in paradise and took them to heaven, and the rich man is still in hell. We see when a person dies, there's a great division. That person is separated from God forever. This is called eternal death. It's not eternal life. It's eternal death. Always dying, but never dying. Being tortured in hell. Now, let me remind you that God tortures no one. God is not the one who is torturing that person in hell today. That person is responsible for his or her own torture. Of course, the Bible teaches us that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Anyone who goes to hell is going there of their own free will. And that's how a person comes to Jesus Christ, through their own free will. They're not forced to get saved. No one is forced to get saved. And God does not choose certain individuals and say, you're going to get saved, but you're not. You're going to get saved. Oh, you're not going to be saved. You're going to hell. That is not Bible. The Bible tells me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God does not choose people to go to hell. God sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sin. He paid the price for our sin. He was the one who gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood that blood would take away the sin of each person in this world if they would only respond favorably and ask Jesus into their heart. There's a great division, there's a divide here between saved people and unsaved, and one day it's going to be even greater when that person who has never trusted Jesus goes to hell and the person who has trusted Jesus is in heaven. There is a great divide. Well, there is a division here among these people. The Pharisees said one thing, but the people, they used a little bit of common spiritual sense here. They said, well, if Jesus was a sinner, as the Pharisees had said, then how come this man could be healed? They say unto the blind man in verse 17, they say again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Now, this man recognized that Jesus was a prophet. He recognized that Jesus had healed him. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. They wanted more proof that this man had been healed. They did not believe. They wouldn't believe. They said, unless I see. And this reminds me of old Doubting Thomas. After Jesus had risen from the dead, from the grave, he appeared to certain of the apostles. Thomas, he was not there. And he said, unless I see him, unless I feel him, unless I touch his hands, unless I do this and do that, unless I see him personally, I'll not believe. Well, we know the story and the account as to how Jesus did appear before him. And he said, reach hither thy hands. And I always say, reach hither thy hands, you old doubter. Well, Jesus didn't say that. He said, reach hither thy hands and feel and touch me and see that I'm alive. But it was Thomas. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He believed. But here's the blind man now, and they're asking him. They wanted more proof that he had actually been healed, that he had actually been blind, so they sent for the parents. In verse 19, they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Well, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Well, Jesus is God, and they should have been praising Jesus, who is God, and they really didn't know who God was at this time. Jesus was the man. He was God-man. He was the one who healed this blind man. We're going to pick up here where we're leaving off the next time, but you need to let Jesus heal your blind eyes today. If you do not know him as Savior, let those scales fall from your eyes and receive him as Savior. Recognize him as the Savior, as God, as the one who died for you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.